and welcome to the Trash Tapes Podcast as part of the Enigmatic Productions Network. If you love bad cinema and incredible deep dives into cult film, then you have come to the right place. So if you like what you hear and want to support us, you can do so by donating some funds to our Buy Me a Coffee website, along with the Acast supporter feature. All of these can be found in the description below. And now, on with the show.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a bit... God, it's warm today.
It is warm.
It's not even fun warm. It's like...
It's humid, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like everything sticks. I'm wearing a stick to the flipping sofa.
It's leather as well, which does not help.
Oh, it's gross. Can't handle it. If so, if any listeners out there, if any of you suddenly hear like a...
I'm wearing shorts as well, so my legs will just stick to the...
It's basically... Let's just change the podcast today to Velcro. It's not the Trash Tapes, it's just Velcro. Would you want to hear 90 minutes of the sound of Velcro?
We might reach a different audience.
Something completely different.
All those fetish people that like strange noises.
Oh, good grief. We'll be huge in the latex bars. Right, okay. Let's kick this off in a less kinky manner.
Boys? Stop watching that trash!
One man's trash is another man's torture. Starring Johan Schepal as the inflictor of pain and Edward Harvey as the victim. From Studio Enigmatic comes the Trash Tapes.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to now the sixth episode of the Trash Tapes, and one man's trash is another man's torture, and we are now back in this rather humid day while thinking of something a bit summery to watch and everything else, and I think we've picked the right movie for it because everyone's bouncing and prancing around the fields. So in case you're wondering, my name is Johan Schepal. I'm the inflictor of pain, and I have basically invaded Edward Harvey's house. So how are you?
Hey, I'm good, thank you. Hey, hi, hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Greetings. you sound like one of those guys who are really drunk, trying not to be drunk at that moment.
I've had one cider, and that's... I think the heat has just done it for me.
It's already... We're done now. We're already drunk. We're starting to slur our words. Just to keep things up at the minute, like, in terms of the podcast now, we're now on six episodes. Mm. We're, like, halfway through the year now.
Yeah.
That's quite a... Quite an achievement, I think.
Because we're doing monthly ones, aren't we? Which is great because, I mean, I know some people do more episodes than monthly, but we like to kind of build up steam and, like, kind of have time to promote the episodes and stuff like that. Otherwise, you just kind of, they're there and they're gone, aren't they? You know, it's like...
Yeah, pretty much.
On podcasts where they're too frequent... You've put one out, and then you're trying to promote the next one. We didn't want that. We want space to...
Plus, at the same time, we need space, because some of the movies we watch, I think we need some recovery time.
Yeah.
Like, a month's actually good enough.
Yeah.
Like, we just had Street Fighter, the last episode I had with Street Fighter, and that was actually a ball ache to edit, to listen to watch, to have anything involved with.
I'm still mentally scarred.
Do you sometimes blink, close your eyes and see Jean-Claude Van Damme doing a roundhouse kick? Because I'm getting one of those.
Oiled up.
I'll give you something, Bison. No, I'm not Bison. Leave me alone. So we decided by this point to move on to something a bit more pleasant. So the last one was a bit of a slog, and that one is the remake, the infamous remake of The Wicker Man.
Afternoon.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. I'll get it. Give me your hand!
Edward, I know that we haven't spoken in a few years. I need your help.
I need your help.
I have a daughter. Her name is Rowan. She has been missing for 2 weeks now. I fear she is in danger, so now I turn to you. Be careful and believe nothing that you see or hear.
Lost your bearings?
Oh, hey, sorry. Snuck up on me there.
This is private property.
Do you know her?
I don't recognize this child.
Welcome. My little girl is still here. She has been taken by who I don't know.
I'll find her.
If she existed, we would know of her.
You suspect foul play.
Hey! Wicker Man returns.
Who's the Wicker Man?
I'm gonna search every inch of this town.
She'll burn to death. She burned to death.
I need your help!
Daddy.
The main reason why we picked this is because I think, and this is generally a thing, I've been wanting to do a Nicolas Cage movie for a long time.
There's so many that qualify for the trash tapes.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Because oddly enough, you were saying before, like, we were saying, like, Nicolas Cage's career spans, like, a literal spectrum of between good and terrible.
Yeah.
Like, there are movies that are just the worst, and some movies which are mind-blowing.
Yeah, I mean, he's become very much a caricature of the internet now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people remember the outrageous roles, but they forget that he's actually a good actor.
Yeah.
And there are some films where he's delivered fantastic performances.
Mm.
And it's like, you can't forget that. He is a good actor, but at the same time, he will just go off on a tangent sometimes. And it's like,
basically, Nicolas Cage is one of these guys. I think there's two things with him, right? One, I think he's now very self-aware of what he is.
Mm.
So he will, when you get full Nicolas Cage, you get full Nicolas Cage. He's basically getting Super Saiyan Cage, right? But I think the ones where he does really well is when he's got a really good director.
Mm.
I think when he's finally, like, whipped down a bit.
Yeah.
And put down a peg, and he's directed well.
Yeah.
That's where it goes well with this.
I think you're right, actually.
I think the good ones are the good directors.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you just let Nicolas Cage loose, he's just going to go a bit crazy.
He'll just start shouting things and biting people's heads off. It's like, what's the one? It's like, say, I'm just going to stand. I say, I'm just not going to stand here while I'm saying that. Pissing blood! It's like, whoa! Whoa! Whoa, dude! When did that happen? Oh, I'm sorry. I think that might have popped the microphone.
Some of the more subtle roles where he's not the protagonist are good. Like, I really liked him in, like, Kick-Ass.
Yeah, the thing with Kick-Ass is, like, that's a weird one. That's a combo of both. Mm. That's Nicolas Cage going a little bit on a tangent.
Mm.
Because, was it the bit where it's like, say, that is like, was it like a, that kick to kryptonite!
Yeah.
That bit.
But then the emotional scenes between his daughter
were really good.
Really played fantastically. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think when Nicolas Cage has got a good director behind him, he can be a really good actor. When you just hire Nicolas Cage to be Nicolas Cage, you're going to get full Nicolas Cage. And this is where this movie kind of falls in, I think.
What do you think Nicolas Cage thinks about some of the movies and the performances he's done? Do you think he takes it, like, with a pinch of salt, and he kind of, like, a bit like he could take the mickey out of himself, like it's like a Jean-Claude Van Damme
type? I think Nicolas Cage knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think he knows he's been in some epically crazy stuff.
Mm.
So he embraces 100%. Hence why, even like when movies are garbage, he's the best thing in it. Or yeah. the worst thing in it, depending on what you think of Nicolas Cage. Because he just, he goes full hole. There's no filter on Nicolas Cage.
No. So. I think the reason why he is like that is he's not a classically trained actor. He's self-taught. So yeah. he can be great
this
or he can be
so
like
much.
He can be great or he can be really bad sometimes, and there's no like
there's no middle ground with
no.
him. He can't be actually to be honest, I think the last thing Nicolas Cage can ever do is be subtle.
Why don't you just get her dad to help you?
Because the only person I trust is you.
If you can, the only person you can trust is Nicolas Cage. That's a bit low on the steep end, isn't it? Not, you need more. You need better friends.
Hey, I'd put my life in Nicolas Cage's
Would
hands.
Would you really? Nicolas Cage is the last person I trust.
I promise you.
Let's get a little bit of news on what this movie is, or what this movie is, and what this movie's about. As you. So let's actually move on very quickly. The fact that this is a remake, first of all.
Mm.
Now, so, right, we are fans of the original Wicker Man, right? But when's the last time you saw the Wicker Man, the original?
It's so long ago that I can't really remember it. I was dead young when I saw it.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, so it's one of those movies where I can only remember little bits of it. And I can't really remember it at all, really. So
I think with me, though, I saw it again fairly recently,
yeah.
like a couple of years ago, right? And that movie is really underrated.
Mm.
Like, people know of it, but sit down and watch it, and you realise it is this bizarre, quirky, creepy, almost musical-like. I remember there's like five or six musical numbers where people just start singing, and you have the chanting and all that stuff, and the build-up and the themes on Christianity and belief and virginity, because it's all about fertility in the first one, right? It's all about that and everything else. And it's done really, really well. It still holds up in that right level of creepy. And yeah, it doesn't really do very well with Wiccans. You're not going to sit there with any Wiccans or pagans sitting going like, that is 100% accurate, isn't it? Yeah, of course we have a giant Burning Man statue that we do once a year. But
you have to have a bit of artistic license with these things, don't you? It's
you
sometimes have to cater for people who aren't directly involved in that kind of belief. Because it's like, for example, Black Swan.
Yeah.
Apparently the ballet isn't very realistic. And if a ballerina watches that movie, they're thinking, they're not even that good.
Right. Yeah, but here's a funny thing though. What I find great is like, yeah, ballerinas like that's like a skill, that's a specialism.
Yeah.
Like pagan druids are not going to be sitting down watching the Wicker Man going, that doesn't represent me entirely, like 100%. So this is the remake. So there's something before we even get into the film. I want to kind of ask, what is your take on remakes?
Generally, I don't think it's a good idea, but sometimes. I'll like to be proved wrong. So sometimes I'll watch a movie anyway because I like the original. I'm thinking, come on, prove me wrong. If I do like it, fair enough. Then I'll just accept that. And I'm not stubborn as in saying no, I hate all remakes and none of them should be ever done. There is a time where I can be proven wrong, and I kind of think it's not like I'll ever think it surpasses the original, but they've done something creative with it, and it's been good on it. So on occasions, like Evil Dead, for example.
Yeah, the Evil Dead remake was actually really good. Mm. And yet, it's a different beast to the original Evil Dead. But the first Evil Dead was a schlocky sort of attempt at a horror movie that became slightly unintentionally funny. Mm. So when they try to remake it now this way, and they changed a few things around, and they made it creepier, it's actually really good. Another one I think we've got to say is Maniac.
Yeah, Maniac's very good, because the original was kind of like, I mean, I've not seen it, but I'm aware of it, And it's kind of just a general slasher, isn't it?
Like, yeah. But what this guy's done, what the remake did, was turn everything into a POV shot.
Mm.
And that in itself was like, ooh, now you got me interested. Like that shot where he literally scalps a girl and you're stuck in that view of her.
It's horrible. Really scary movie.
But it's not just horror ones as well. Like, you know, The Magnificent Seven is a remake of Seven Samurai.
Mm.
So that is one of the most famous westerns ever, and Seven Samurai is a fantastic samurai movie, and yet that translated well. So remakes can be done well, but you have to know what to tweak, what to make new, and what to keep the same. It's a very interesting balancing act.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about before, like last time with video game movies, how you really need a nice balance of both. You need something a little bit different, but enough like the video game. In this case, you need a nice balance of both. You really need to do something different. You need to do something different, so therefore make yourself stand out. That's why the Psycho remake is a complete waste of time.
Yeah.
Shot for shot, and there's only one thing. It's like only two things they've added into it, which is like, bloody hell, was it Vince Vaughn?
The thing is that the actors aren't charismatic enough for those roles, in my opinion. Nothing against them. It's just that it's just badly cast as well.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't say those actors are bad. I'm just saying that they don't work for those roles.
Exactly. Like, and it's just, in fact, also shot for shot.
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. As well, like, there's another one where it's like, Funny Games. Funny Games, what? I hate the movie in the first place. But then the director, who shot originally in Danish, I think it is. I can't remember the name of the director, and I don't like him anyway, so I'm not going to remember it for this. But he says...
Not worth my time.
Now I sound like the pompous prat. But he was being really pompous by saying, like, this movie didn't really get to my audience. He's like, who's your audience? Americans, because Americans love violence. So later on in his career, that same director did a shot-for-shot remake of that movie... in English. And so I sat there thinking, it didn't work the first time. Why do it again in another language?
Yeah.
Oh, bollocks. So remakes can work.
It's interesting, though, that when I think of it, it is only horror ones I can think of. I mean, I know I like horror. It's a main sort of genre I like. But I quite like The Grudge.
Yeah, like that's all right.
Sam Raimi's Grudge.
Because he produced that, didn't he? I think it was.
He directed that.
Did he?
Yeah.
You know he directed that one. I'll look that up.
With Sarah Michelle Gellar, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Not bad, isn't it? So yeah, he did that. There's a few movies that can be remade and done well, but I think you need to know what was good about the original ones in the first place.
Yeah.
And keep that essence going. Which is when we get to the Wicker Man remake. Now, the Wicker Man remake does a very different thing. And it's good they try to do a different thing.
Mm.
But it fell flat. So let's go. Let's just have a quick chat about this. So, the Wicker Man is a 2006 horror remake of the original Wicker Man movie. Which was from 1973. It stars Nicolas Cage. Produced by Nicolas Cage. And directed by Neil LaBute.
Nicolas Cage, no.
No. Oh, I wish. Oh, how can he direct himself? Nicolas Cage can't direct traffic. How can he direct himself? The director's called Neil LaBute. Now, Neil LaBute, he did, like, In the Company of Men. He did a few other movies like that. But he's not really a well-known director. In fact, he's one of those directors I think has been dropped down a peg quite often in his career. He also did, like, Lakeview Terrace, another movie I hate. But he's not really well known for it, okay?
He's in the circle of, like, Hollywood film, like, directors, like, but he's not up there.
He's around.
Yeah.
He's not up there. He's never made a real breakout hit, and no one really cares,
yeah.
Right? So, like we said, it's a remake of the 1973 film, but it's also drawn more, oddly enough, from the source material, which was a book, David Pinner's 1967 novel called Ritual.
Yeah.
So LaBute looked at the remake, looked at the original movie and said, I like it, but I want to look at the source material. Now, that's a good choice. Interesting. You know, let's go for the source material. Let's not do entirely from the movie. But then clearly he decided to just swap it around anyway and do some major changes to it. Okay? So The film, as with most people already know, has now become a little bit infamous, primarily on the internet, as for a while, Nicolas Cage was literally the meme. Yeah. The only meme on the internet, right? And the film, and the reason why is the film received hostile reviews from film critics at the time of its release. It literally says hostile. Critics pointed the film as an unintentional comedy, which we figured out it is.
Yeah.
Weak acting, poor screenwriting, and the film was a financial flop, which only grossed over $38 million against $40 million production budget. So it didn't even make its money back at all. Since its original release, it has developed a cult following, which we have now obviously figured out, especially from all the memes. Okay? And here's a random thing. And I want you to figure this out. Did you not notice that right at the very, very end, okay, the movie was dedicated to someone?
Didn't see.
You didn't see?
No.
Do you know who it's dedicated to?
No.
Johnny Ramone. No, I wish. He's dedicated to himself. The movie was dedicated to Johnny Ramone from the Ramones.
Okay.
For no reason, because he died in 2004, right? And Nicolas Cage just wanted to dedicate that movie to his friend, Johnny Ramone.
That's odd.
I know. What does the Ramones have to do with it?
The only thing I can think of is maybe he liked the Wicker Man, like the original.
Oh, but then he would have hated this.
Yeah.
He would have just like...
It's like Nicolas Cage, I'm doing it for my friend. I'm making the Wicker Man.
I'm doing it. It's like saying, look, Johnny Ramone died. Love the Wicker Man so much.
So I'm going to ruin it.
So I'm just going to make it. Going to make it the way he would have wanted it. It's like, really? You never know, because I don't know Johnny Ramone. Maybe he had a completely different intention to it, but that would be funny.
No, maybe right. They'd had, like, some kind of chat at some point, and he'd gone, yeah, I love Wicker Man. And he goes, Nick Cage says, like, yeah, I love that film. One day I'm going to remake it.
Yeah.
And then... So maybe because of that conversation, he's like dedicated that movie to him. I don't know. That's just one explanation.
The thing with Nicolas Cage is when he's given a role, he's dedicated to it 100%, even if it doesn't suit him at all.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember the whole story about the Tim Burton Superman movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage was going to play Superman.
Which sounds incredible.
I would have killed to see that.
Yeah.
But, you know... It's like he was dedicated to it 100%. He was full-blown. So he's a passionate guy. Maybe that's the case, right? But here's the thing. Universal Pictures have been planning a remake of this movie since the 90s. So they have been doing this for a while. They've been thinking about it, right? The British film was licensed by the licensing library, Canal Plus. So it's basically, you know, that whole chapter. So it's fun about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So it took a little while to get there. It took a little while to get there because they just couldn't find the right way to do it.
Mm.
There are a couple of people who were on board for it, right? And there were a couple of people who were more interested in it. Like, for example, Nicolas Cage wasn't the first choice.
Right.
Liam Neeson was the first choice.
That would have been similar, I think.
I think it would have been more brooding. It was more like, how'd it get burned? How did it get burned? How did it get burned? Look at me. Okay? I've got a particular set of skills. All you little girls. I've got a particular set of skills. And I'm going to find my daughter. Oh my God! It would have totally been taken!
Yeah, it would have just been like a Wiccan taken.
Everyone, pay attention. Send this to Liam Neeson. Say that like, Taken 4 should be a Wicker Man. I'm coming. I'm going to get my daughter. I need to save her before she gets sacrificed. I love it. That would have been the movie. Okay.
So he was the first choice.
Liam Neeson was the first choice.
Yeah.
All right. Winona Ryder was also supposed to be in the movie as well as the wife.
All right.
So there are quite a few people who were supposed to be up for it. But then it got rewritten a few times. There were kind of big clashes originally. Robin Hardy, who was the original director of The Wicker Man, was at the same time with Christopher Lee preparing for a semi-remake of that movie.
Right.
Which was originally called The Riding on the Ladle, right?
Mm.
Okay. So, and it was going to star Vanessa Redgrave, and it was going to star quite a few people from Lord of the Rings. It was going to be a big thing, right? That it was going to be sort of this sort of pseudo remake, but then it kind of got changed a bit. And then it sort of became many changes afterwards because a lot of things fell through. And that became The Wicker Tree, which is technically a sequel now.
Yeah.
So that one I've heard. I've heard The Wicker Tree. I haven't seen it. I'm not that interested, right? That means the movie kind of was still floating around in the air. So LeBute stepped forward, changed it from being in Scotland to being contemporary America. So he's already starring on the changes, mate. And the remake rights eventually moved to Universal from Universal to Millennium Films. And that's where they were finally saying, fuck it, let's just move this forward. So it was a lot of hooping and hopping about.
Yeah.
Till it finally got to this remake.
Did it have, like, multiple screenwriters?
It's been changed throughout the years. Mm. Like, it's definitely been changed throughout the years. In terms of screenwriters, it doesn't seem to be that much of a difference, but it has been, you know how screenwriters are like. When a script is written one way, it's passed along, then they get the credit or they get the sub-credit, and then they pass along, and some people don't hate it so much, you don't really want the credit, just want the money.
Yeah, and the end result is a bit of a Frankenstein, isn't it?
Robin Hardy, the writer and the director of the original film, and Christopher Lee as well, who played Mr. Summer Isle in the original movie, both were critical of the remake, so they already knew. Hardy had his name removed from the film's credit because he didn't want anything associated with it.
Not surprised.
I feel that they kind of knew that what they had was a mess.
Mm.
And as we talk about the plot, and little bits as we go along, we'll go to there.
Honey?
There he is.
Look at that jacket.
God.
Rockstar leather cop jacket.
I know. He's pulling it off. Everything's okay. Everything's okay for now. We haven't reached there yet. Yeah. Just grab that doll. Does the music seem a little extra overdramatic?
For definitely. Like,
I'm just returning a doll.
It's like generic Hollywood music.
Yeah. It's like we need some tension in the scene. Just go for tension track number 5. Whoa! Okay. Car just exploded with a kid in it.
My God.
Ah! Come on, Nicolas Cage. Use your Nicolas Cage powers! Whoa. Go on, use your might! Told you, Nicolas Cage has superpowers, clearly. No!
The kid was surprisingly relaxed in a burning car.
It's not even remotely warm. Then the title appears. Let's know how the movie starts. The Wicker Man, so the Wicker Man, in a weird way, it starts off completely in contemporary America, which I get if you're doing a remake, maybe you want to do something different, but it's a bit odd to set in, like, in what seems to be the Arizona desert or something like that. Or wherever the fuck it is. Doesn't actually say where they are.
No,
like,
just a couple of cops in a diner and a rock and roll leather jacket.
Yeah, that was awesome. Nicolas Cage in a leather jacket like that looked badass, right? And he's doing this thing and whatever it is, and then he's doing a round. Like, he's just driving around, dropping tickets and stuff and everything else. Like, he's one of those cops, right? And suddenly, a doll drops from one of the cars. And you know this really cool, like, badass sweeping move?
That, when I was thinking about that, that'd be very hard to do with that toppling off your bike, because he's going quite low there.
Yeah!
Like,
he's going like,
and he's not really like he's not sort of adjusting the bike in any way. He's just literally going to pull the bike over, surely.
Yeah, yeah. So instead of toppling over, he grabs this doll off the road and tries to catch up with the and tries to catch up with the car. Mm. When this happens, it's like there seems to be some kind of conversation with this woman and this girl in the backseat of the car.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, out of nowhere, a truck hits the car. Like, pew, like, where did it come from? There was no sign of this truck at all.
Yeah.
And it hits the car. The car tumbles down a little bit and explodes. And the funny thing is, you see Nicolas Cage just trying to break into... I love it. He's trying to break into the car to save the girl.
Yeah.
Like, by elbow dropping the fucking window.
It's like Street Fighter when you have to smash it.
Yeah, you see that? You see, that's our Street Fighter scene we missed from last time. It's Nicolas Cage just kicking a car in. Fucking great. Just fucking great. And finally, he tries to get in. He's like, he's trying to get into the thing. He's almost there. He's almost there. And then for some reason, the girl just stands up, like, no effect. Like, it's a bit warm.
Yeah.
It's like it's not screaming or going, oh no, I'm in a car. It's like, it's a bit warm, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely emotionless, really.
It's a void. And then suddenly, as he puts his arm in and goes like, give me a hand, give me a hand, car explodes.
Mm.
And then that's when the title hits. So all that happens before the title.
Right.
So then we get to all this bit with Nicolas Cage sort of recovering, and he's like, oh, I've been tragic. It's been dramatic. That girl in the car. An explosion. I'm still getting haunted dreams of a truck.
I'm a cop that's seen some shit.
And this shit's a truck. So, in between all this, throughout the whole movie, he's getting flashbacks of this sequence.
Yeah.
But the main flashback that happens a lot is that it's just a truck just drives past the screen in a really shitty CGI way.
Yeah, it's like running over the girl, isn't it? But
yeah.
What's meant to be haunting is hilarious for some reason.
It's so stupid. It's like. Do you remember? What was it? Final Destination.
Mm.
Do you know the randomly stupid shit where the girl just walks in the middle of the road and a fucking bus hits her?
Yeah, I mean that's another movie where it's supposed to be scary.
Yeah.
But the kills and the elaborate deaths in that end up being like a punchline. They're funny.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is like, yeah, because yeah, that bit is like you laugh because like, where the fuck is this? What was the driver doing in the first place? But and this is the thing. He's being haunted not by the girl primarily. He gets haunted by the girl later. But at the beginning, he's being haunted by a truck. There's a bit on the boat.
And not in a cool way like Steven Spielberg's Duel or something.
Yeah, it's not like Duel. Or it's not even like Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
Okay? It's literally just a truck going past the screen and running over a girl.
Mm.
It's like, beer! But like there's a bit on the boat where the girl in a red jumper hiding on a boat. And then fucking a truck just goes on the boat. And you're like, okay, haunted by trucks, are we? That truck was traumatic, was it?
Yeah.
So they've used the really cheap font, you know, the one they usually see, like it's almost like papyrus.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one? It's like, we spent all the money on this, so we're going to use the font papyrus. Is that okay? Well, at least it's not Comic Sans. We're good.
And no one likes Comic Sans. Has anyone ever used it?
Do you remember that? Like, it was a while ago, like, there was this kid's thing. It was, like, teaching you how to write and type, and it was always in Comic Sans. He had this weird purple guy with a massive nose.
Yeah.
Can't remember him, but... no one uses that anymore. They should get rid of it as a font. You know, it's funny, though, at the minute, Nicolas Cage has been subtle at the minute.
Remember in old movies,
yeah,
when they just held a shot of a letter and you had to read it all?
Yeah, like. But here's the thing, though. Okay, so that letter is, like, classic, like, in proper pen shit. Like, ooh. It's like, ooh, this is classy. It's not typed up or written on Word. Not in Comic Sans. Someone could never have the
island by herself. Give her a call. I already tried that, but guess what? There's no phone service on Summertown.
I suppose they would argue in the original there wasn't the internet, so...
Yeah, but it just doesn't make it, like, a little bit stupid. It's like, yeah, saying, this island's mysterious. Like, oh, Google Maps. There it is. So Google's ruined the
mystery. Nothing's sacred now with the internet.
Google has ruined any mystery for any following adventurers. See, you can even get a fairy to it, so clearly this is not like a nothing place.
That handwriting.
Beautiful. That is proper curvature right there. Mm.
It's like something from an Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie novel. Yeah. Oh, then I pronounce.
I can't even speak it.
So, he's now having visions of trucks just following him everywhere.
Trucks and children.
So he's being traumatised by this killer truck and this girl, right? Now, what happens is that he gets his letter in what seems to get his letter from what seems to be one of the officers, like this blonde curb officer, which we weren't sure was happening. It looked like I would have shipped it. I don't think it was a shipping thing. I don't think it's happening. But they sit down and say, like, oh, Pete from the office, we miss you, man. We miss you. And drops all the letters. And we get this really well handwritten letter.
Yeah, very excellent handwriting from, like, you know, the 1920s or something.
It got a wax seal and everything. Yeah. Like, I wish I had that treatment. I wish I had one of those. Like, someone be my pen pal and send me one of those, right? So he gets this letter, what seems to be from a girlfriend they hasn't seen maybe in, like, 10 years, right? And it's like, her name is Willow, and she's sending, like, and she sends a letter, like, oh, I have to just say something. Like, I know it's been a long time, but I know you're the only one going to help me. My daughter's gone missing. That kind of thing. Or maybe more melodramatic than what I'm saying. But, the letter just seems not non-sequential. It's just like a device to get him on the island.
Yeah, definite cop bait.
Yeah, it feels like, because it's like, it said, like, the letter doesn't even have a stamp on it. How'd it even get to me, you know? It's like, suspicious much? There's a lot of clues throughout the whole movie, right, that are very obvious, but Nicolas Cage, being Nicolas Cage, doesn't seem to notice.
Mm.
And this is clearly one of them. Like, this is clearly a trap. Like, this is clearly, like, a suspicious trap, but no, okay?
But he's always got that, like, I'm in charge here. I'm going to find out what's happened, and I'm going to sort it out. He's very sort of arrogant in a way. Isn't
this,
he?
Like, this is what I've noticed. Like, you're saying this, he's got a bit of a god complex.
Yeah. Definitely.
He feels like when he eventually gets to the island, which basically, just to give you a heads up now, the original Wicker Man, right? It's very hard to get to Summer Isle, right? Mm. Because you have to go from some place to some place to some place to get the coordinates to find wherever it is, and you have to go by boat, you have to go by airplane, you have to do all this thing, right? This movie has a similar thing, but in the original it was like in the 1970s, so you didn't really have like a lot of knowledge go past that way, right? Here, he pretty much found out where the fucking island was through the internet.
Google Maps.
He fucking really Google mapped that shit and said, you know what, it's here. Oh, that's where it is. He found out where Summer Isle was and all the information about Summer Isle really easily. And there's a ferry that pretty much nearly takes you there.
Yeah.
So you're like, this is not really that secluded if that is a thing. It's just, you know. So it's just stupid. Basically, it's not that mysterious. Automatically, it's a big sort of problem with this movie. It's like the mystery of the island is not as mysterious as in the original.
Because that's like the incredible intrigue, isn't it? It's like, yeah. Oh God, this island, it's really spooky. And, you know, it's like you really sort of want to know how that's going to happen. And it seems quite simple, straightforward how he gets there, you know.
Yeah, it seems like it's not like he's trekked. It's not like he's really travelled.
Mm.
Like all he did was go on a ferry and bribe a pilot. Howdy there. Was it? Ahoy there.
Yeah.
He goes up to a pilot and goes, ahoy there. And I love it because he's like, I love it because maybe that is maybe a Nicolas Cagerism. I'm going to run with it. Because ahoy there. And then it comes and says, this is brilliant. He goes over and the pilot goes like, what the fuck are you talking about? No one talks like this.
And he's like, he's really, really grumpy until Cage starts flashing the cash.
Literally.
Like, he pulls out his wallet, say, like, here's some money. And we don't know how much money is because I don't know American money properly. But he just, like, waves it about. Go, sure, get on my plane.
It looked like about $20.
It didn't look like a lot. The guy didn't really need that much to bribe with. Oh, man.
Ahoy there.
Who's that?
I don't know what you're supposed to say.
I just go with hello.
Right.
Yeah. Why act like a captain? And he's not a captain, he's a pilot.
In fact, I make most of the deliveries around here.
Deliveries, huh?
Yep, just about every day. That's what I'm doing now.
What would I have to do to catch a ride with you?
Oh, no. I don't care to lose my contract with these folks. They're very particular.
All right, well, then just drop me down on the beach or whatever they have out there, and I'll walk into town.
Oh, so you can't get a ferry directly to there. You have to get a... He has to hitch a ride with him.
With Mr. Ahoy.
Because he's private. He's off limits. And we respect that. We're all private people around here.
Yeah, but you're so warm and open, it really makes up for it.
Wow, the sarcasm.
Okay, look, how about you take all of us there?
What do you mean, all?
Me? Mr. Grant here and his twin brother Ulysses.
Wow, that was easy.
Now you're talking.
There you go. Fling a bit of cash.
Making it rain.
It's only just a couple of bucks. It's like, wow, a whole $10. Some of these shots are actually quite nicely dramatic, aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the way the movie looks. It's shot well.
Yeah, I think the thing is, this is not going to be one of those issues. It's not going to be one of those movies going, oh, I shot terribly. Yeah. I think we're going to go, oh, it's pretty. But we'll just have to see how manic Nicolas Cage gets as the movie goes on.
But, I mean, it's shot like just standard Hollywood kind of playing safe kind of... There's nothing exciting about the cinematography. Yeah. It's just like it's professional. It's to an industry standard. Like,
it's basically like, it's like, this is a movie.
Yeah.
It's shot like a movie.
Mm.
So good. It's like some of the other crap we've seen recently. Here's an interesting thing, right? Okay, so... So the character's name Nicolas Cage is playing is called Edward... it's called Edward Malice, right? Mm. And the reason how they came up with Malice is because it's male and phallus.
Yeah, okay.
It's put together, so it's Malice.
Yeah.
So we say phallus, and we're going to talk about that once we get to it. But there's a bit of a theme with this movie, and we'll pinpoint it out more as it comes along. But let's just say phallus. There's a lot of things involving gender with this movie.
Yeah. Keep saying his name all the time. It's freaking me out because it's my name. it's like, are you talking to me? Oh, no, sorry, you're talking to him.
No, he's talking to him, not me.
I need its radio. Wait for me.
Do you know when they make up names for movies? Mm. Do you know one day they might get your name and you'll be starring in a movie unintentionally? Now, my name is a bit unique, so if they have picked my name... Like at random, you're like, oh god.
My name's fairly rare as well because it's like two first names. Like Harvey and Edward can be both used as a first name, so yeah. It's kind of not that common.
But if, unless you're a hairdresser, hairdresser's got two first names. I'm so sorry. So Edward. Is obviously of a certain name, as it were, and not just yours. just to say. Because it's funny, you're getting confused as you're watching. Not confused, but while you're going, oh, it's me. It's like, oh, fuck, so it's not talking about me. Yeah, it's talking about like, Nicolas Cage.
Edward, like, what? Oh, no, not me.
It's like, oh, God, it's Nicolas Cage. Good, it's not me. You're not talking directly to me, right?
Nicolas Cage, as well, does not look like an Edward at all.
I know. Like, do you know when certain people have, like, a name, and that suits you?
Mm.
That's a name that matches your face. Nicolas Cage is not an Edward, right? Mm. Now, here's the thing. The whole point is that the girl's gone missing. So Willow is basically saying, my daughter's gone missing. And I'm going to reveal it anyway because it's not really much of a development. But some halfway through the movie, it's kind of revealed that the girl called Rowan Woodward is actually Nicolas Cage's daughter.
Yeah. What I do love, though, I love stories where the hero is out the depth,
yeah,
and clueless, like Big Trouble in Little China, for example. I like that because I find it very entertaining and amusing.
Because, because the story is them trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But at least with like Kurt Russell in that movie, he eventually sorted it out, even though he didn't really do much. Nicolas Cage, though, is Nicolas fucking Cage. He's gonna find a way to solve it. He's gonna burn it. Literally, in this movie. Oh, Nicolas Cage finally clicked.
I've been trying to tell you why. Why I need you to help me.
You're telling me I'm Rowan's father.
That took a while to click, didn't it? Okay. Reject it. It's like a really bad Maury Povich episode. You are not the father. You got Woodward and you got Edward. Mm. Edward Woodward played the original police officer in The Wicker Man. Mm. So that's their nod to the original Wicker Man, apparently.
Right.
And the interesting thing is, right, Edward Woodward, the star of the original movie, has said was originally going to play a part in the remake, but declined. He nevertheless was, and this is surprising, surprisingly impressed with the quality of the script. Nonetheless, the name of the young girl was changed from Morrison in the original to Woodward from the film.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I don't think the script is that good, because there's a lot of exposition in the bit. And this is one of the things, like, there's a lot of things in this movie that feels like a lot of exposition just to explain what's happening. A little bit like when we did Zardoz.
Yeah.
And everything was sort of like trying to explain the world a bit.
Yeah. It took too long doing that. Like,
yeah. It's like, we just want to get to the creepy shit.
Mm.
And there's not a lot of it in there. Here's another interesting thing, a point, all right? And this is something I didn't realise until recently. Okay, literally just by looking at this at the exact minute in time, looking at the fact, okay? A lot of the dialogue, perhaps as much as 80% or more, is word for word the same as the original Wicker Man movie. Albeit with a couple of different context changes.
What?
So this means about 80% of the dialogue is direct from the movie. But the problem is, it's out of context.
Yeah.
So do you remember the whole bit is like, do you know when near the end when Nicolas Cage is getting like, spoilers, gets like beaten up and put into the Wicker Man?
Mm.
He's talking about religion. There's no mention about religion in this movie primarily.
Yeah.
He's not, because Nicolas Cage has never been shown as being a really religious person. He's just a dude.
No, so then that just seems lazy then, because it's almost like cut and paste the dialogue into the new script.
Yeah, and half of that does feel a little bit like that, because it's loads of, like, long conversations that seem to be, like, explaining shit. But it feels like some of it's just to explain to the audience, and it's a bit different when it was about religion and about learning about society in the 1970s kind of thing.
Mm.
That feels more like, oh, yeah, I may not have understood about pagans, right?
Yeah.
Or Wiccans. Here, everyone kind of knows about it. You don't have to give us all the explanation. There's a lot of babble.
And you get the impression as well that Cage's character is an atheist, because he's not, doesn't believe in stuff like that.
It doesn't show at all that he's a religious person in the slightest. Mm. All right? So... You'd be eyeballed by, like, the three ladies over there. That's not a suspicious looking bag at all.
Shark or something?
Don't recognize this child. You, Violet?
No, can't say I do.
Just a chip.
Oh, come on!
Glance at the photo. Well, so what are you telling me? This girl isn't from the island?
Doesn't appear to be.
Her mother's name is Willow.
These women look like they're from a comedy sketch or something. They look like they're going to do, go really ham it up at any second and go, oh, I don't know, I don't know who the girl is. Oh, do you?
Oh, I do not know, Margaret. Do you know Agatha? I do not know.
Your bag is dripping. Oh.
Yeah, bag's dripping all right.
Take a peek.
You're way too happy to show that. I would not want to put my hand in that. Wow. The comedy levels have reached peak. So when Nicolas Cage finally arrives on the island, and the first encounter is with these weird-ass three ladies.
Yeah, they're, like, doing, like, a really, like, camp Three Witches of Macbeth kind of impression.
Yes! Bubble, bubble, toil and trouble. Look in my bag, it's gooey. There's a bit with a bag in it. It's really stupid.
Yeah, they just look like something from like a horror section of like a sitcom or something, like sketch shows. Rather,
it looks a bit like the. Yeah. For me personally, it looks like what the Monty Python guys would have done.
Yeah,
the Monty Python guy like, ooh, it's a little bit creepy over there. Oh, I say, and you're like, oh, good God, just John Cleese and a whole bunch of people dressed in drag.
Yeah, this is the thing. This movie's like entertaining because it's funny unintentionally.
Yeah,
you know.
This is what confuses me a bit. The director is clearly had a vision for this, but what's weird about it is that the changes, and this is what's gonna we're gonna talk about in a minute, the changes and the themes that run for this movie don't entirely click, and so the director's forcing this theme down your throat, but in a manner that's so bizarre and directed so weirdly that it's just funny. So you've got the three women over the bidding end, whatever it is, like saying, oh, that's not her real daughter, no, whatever it is. And so first thing it is, goes into the inn.
Yeah.
Run by Helga, which is not really Helga. I don't know
her name. Definitely looks like a Helga.
Looks like a flipping Helga, a big butch woman.
He's like, can you get me a room or what? Like, be like John Wayne or something.
Can you get me a room or what? And he's instantly put down by all these women.
Yeah.
Like, there's a room full of women. He's instantly put down and go like, is that some sort of city slang or what? Like, literally, like, what are you going to do? I can punch you in the face. You know, and all the women are giving him, like, literally the death glare, right? This is when, and then introduced to Willow. And we could tell it was Willow, because she looked like she actually spent time putting some makeup on her.
Yeah, it's just like in that kind of island, you'd expect everyone to look very, very natural and not kind of have any kind of sort of high maintenance kind of aspect to them whatsoever. Mm. But she looks really well maintained and like nice.
Yeah.
Nicely presented.
Yeah. She stands out so much. You can tell like, this is the girl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I just like a room and a meal. Can you swing it?
Swing what? Is that some kind of city talk?
Managed. That's what he means. Can we manage to put him up?
Well, since he didn't take the hint and leave, I suppose we'll have to. For one night at least.
She looks too attractive to be fair.
I know.
It's like really glammed up and stuff.
It's like, you're not from around here, are you?
And this is Willow.
You can tell that's going to be like Willow because she's like, everyone else looks a little bit haggard. Yeah. And she looks like perfect makeup this morning.
Really like manicured eyebrows and stuff. So, it's, everything's like spot on.
Perfect.
On
business. This is a fish hole police business. Don't you want to speak to each one of you at some point.
Nicolas Cage. He's taking it seriously.
This is Washington.
I'm aware of that.
Then fine.
No, Mrs. Beach, it is not fine. It is anything but fine when a person is lost, especially a child.
You're out of your depth, mate.
Yeah, you. Every woman in this place has just given him, like, the biggest stink eye like I've ever seen.
Now, why would you go and do a thing like that?
Why would you crush a bee?
Sorry, I'm allergic.
They go to an island full of bees.
I am being watched, but we must try to speak later in private. There is a place out beyond the point. Meet me there in an hour.
Thing is, it's like he's going in there trying to throw his weight around, but like he's out of his jurisdiction like massively. But yeah. Even if he was like just in a different state, he would be out of his jurisdiction, so he wouldn't have any power, like, in a different state,
he's
either.
He's just acting like a cocky son of a bitch. Yeah.
No, I mean, tomorrow, what's happening here then?
I told you.
You did?
Can you leave?
Nicolas Cage is sounding like he's having a heat stroke. Like, none of that made any sense.
Also, it's a little Hollywood type thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is maybe like an Amish type community, like. And, yeah. And yet, she looks like really sort of like made up and.
Yeah. Because women need to look good, other than Helga. But, yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Like, you thought they. I don't know, maybe.
At least if they were gonna. I know, because, like, you gotta be made up for camera and stuff. But you can make some up and, like, have them look very natural.
Yeah.
But she's like, it got eyeliner on and all sorts.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah.
All right.
Good morning.
You don't see that every day. A line of five pregnant ladies walking through the forest, looking oddly suspicious. Now, the original movie was about belief in religion. Right? The idea was that the police officer goes on the island and he's an extreme Christian, right? Mm. And in fact, he's never married. So, to my knowledge, he'd never married. So he was a virgin as well. Like, he was a virgin, older male, very heavily Catholic, very heavily Christian, right? To go into a world where... go into an island fully run by pagans.
Mm.
And their belief and how strong their belief was. And it's like, do you believe in your God now? Because I believe in my God, right?
Mm.
And that's a really interesting sort of theme that runs throughout, right? There's none of that here. There's nothing about religion at all. And what's really interesting and bizarre is that a lot of it refers to religion, but the movie isn't about religion.
No.
Okay? The movie is clearly about women.
Mm.
Women are bitches, huh? That was literally how it feels like, because the society of the island are predominantly run by women.
Yeah.
It's like a gender swap of what the original movie was. That could have worked. But it's done ineptly. And Le Butte really actually wanted to push this thing. Not because he thought it would be like a sign of like, women be cray cray. But
it comes out like an anti-feminist type thing.
It's weird because it's a movie that looks like it's trying to be feminist.
Yeah.
But it's actually really anti-feminist.
Yeah, because it's like saying, well, if... You want a place run by women? Fine, this is what it would be like.
We'd be a coven! And you're like, okay, fuck you on that front.
And David, will you tell us what man represents in his purest form? Yes.
Phallic symbol, phallic symbol.
Phallic symbol?
School really changes that, okay.
How dare you stand there and frighten my children?
I
Nicolas Cage has got like a god complex in this. He kind of goes in and he's interrupting the class and he's like, I'm going to just take over the class for a minute. He hasn't really got any right to do that kind of thing.
None of it.
If she existed, we would know of her. Now, will you please go?
For the last time, where is this girl?
I'll speak to you.
Ooh! She put on a teacher voice.
Dead?
You would say so, yes.
She's dead or she isn't?
We never use that word here.
No, that'd be too quixotic. Yes.
You see, we believe that after the human life is over, the soul lives on. In the air, in the trees, in animals, in fire.
She's also got this kind of sassy teacher pose. Who knows the entire time? Arms on her hips going, Yeah, she hasn't put them down yet.
How?
Mr. Melis, it was an accident. Leave things alone, please.
Wait, Miss Rose, Sister Rose.
Still got that as
well. I know.
She's like, because it's this is like stuck in they're stuck in the past. These guys.
Yeah.
She's almost like a Scarlett O'Hara from Gone with the Wind.
Oh my god. She's got the hair for it too. Surprised she's got hands off her hips because she can open the door.
Hey, didn't I just speak with you, Miss Rose, Sister Rose?
No, you didn't.
Yeah, it's the same actor. That's confusing, isn't it?
Oh,
they're meant to like look alike and stuff, like
twins. Mm. You know, the thing is, the whole thing's like we're twins. We saw two free twins in the class.
Yeah,
Rose is a twin, and that plat girl's a twin.
Mm.
Or they're doing that because they couldn't afford any extra actors. We're doing a twin thing. And so Willow comes in and explains to him, like, what's happening. Like, my daughter's missing. I don't know what's happened to my daughter. Everyone on the island's covering it up. Da, da, da. So he goes for, like, a series of what looks like music video sets.
Yeah, you've got, like, it's like a ruins of, like, kind of like a stone kind of house or something, yeah, with, like, an altar in the middle. And then it moves on to, like, a white painted house, like, all the white wood inside, but hardly anything in the house.
Yeah.
Like, something from an 80s music video.
Yeah, and then you go into, like, this big-ass mansion that looks really classy. Like, it's like, I think LeBute was, like, watching MTV this entire time. Like, we need one of these, we need one of these, we need one of these. So the entire point of the movie halfway through now is literally just him exploring the island and exploring all this. And it's not really that interesting until about near the halfway point where we realise that what the island's about and where instead of meeting Summer Isle, we get Mrs. Summer Isle and a few other little interesting bits in between, like the whole bit in the school.
Yeah, this is a prime example of the God complex thing.
Yes.
It goes in, interrupts the class, starts scrubbing off the blackboard, writing his own shit on there, saying, hey kids, listen to me. Don't fucking listen to the teacher.
Don't like listen to the teacher, who is constantly on sass mode.
Yeah.
Sister Rose is on sass mode, right? She was a teacher. And what's really funny is she doesn't, for nearly the majority of the movie, have her hands off her hips.
No. Like permanently. It's like, how does she go through door?
The bit where she opened the door is like, I didn't see a hand. So she's constantly on, like, super sass mode, and she's explaining, like, we have a ritual, we have the thing, which we have the sacrifice, like, once at the end of autumn, and that the daughter is dead, right? Mm. And it's like, is the daughter really dead? We don't know. The whole film's trying to spiel this yarn, and the yarn has basically all been contrived by these women, which makes it, again, the whole anti-feminist thing, where it's like, oh, these women were smart enough to do this overarching plan for years, because apparently this was planted seeds for years. But also, it makes the women just seem like a sewing circle of bitchy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's horrible. It's like horrible. It's really bad portrayal of women in power. You know.
Yeah, like Mrs. Summer Isle. Like Miss Summer Isle just looks like a pretentious cow.
Mm.
Like she's just sitting there going, like, you know, it's like, and it's the thing that sort of eventually gets explained a little bit is like, why is there barely any men on the island? And the men's like, the men are only here to breed.
They have their uses.
Like, and I love Nicolas Cage. Breeding or inbreeding? Whoa!
Yeah, his part of that conversation is great. Like, he's just like going, what, everything?
Everything else just feels like a sassy comeback.
Yeah.
It's like she's trying to, like, really explain, like, her mythos, her religion. She talks about how this was a coven, how these were people from there went to Salem, but when the people like the people who were into paganism and all that were persecuted, they went to the island, right? And but the thing is, a religion plays nothing about it. It's just a bunch of women just being women, like really overpowering women, but not like in a good way. Women are just being like, women are definitely more dominant ones, so just being. Pushing it. It's not really a good portrayal at all.
No, because they're like, they're just put in this place, we're going to do it how we want, and this is. And you can see that this is bad when women are put in charge.
That's what it is! Yeah. It doesn't make it look remotely like equal or whatever.
No.
And it's ridiculous, okay?
Rowan?
She's kind of done if she's been under there the entire time.
Great dive.
Awesome! Nicolas Cage has secretly been a fantastic, like, spin diver the entire time. Wow! It was all a dream. Ah!
God damn it!
God damn!
I had a dream within a dream. I hate those. So he's fighting for all these bits, and as he's going along, he's still getting dreams and nightmares about the girl, about Rowan, and a few things. And there's one bit where he's underwater. And he's trying to go and find the girl. He's underneath the bridge. Oh, that was brilliant. So he does a spinning dive.
Yeah. So it's an Olympic dive.
Splashes in, dives in, goes under the water, grabs the girl, wakes up. They're like, oh, no, it's a wake up. Looks down. He's carrying her in her
arms.
And
he wakes up again.
He wakes up again and literally goes, God damn it!
I was almost waiting for another one, you know.
It's a dream within a dream. I would have loved if he woke up again. And it's like, God damn it, stop doing this to me! And this is what's great about this. This movie is bizarre because Nicolas Cage's performance is probably the real reason why this movie really stands out. Because if it wasn't Nicolas Cage in this movie, I think this movie would have just been passed as mediocre and no one would have cared.
Yeah, because this is what I love about Nicolas Cage, because it's like, he's such a big, charismatic character.
Yeah.
That even if it's a bad movie, you'll end up watching it because he's in it and you enjoy it. Like, and if it was someone else, you would hate it with a passion and not have anything to do with it, not watch it again, or, you know,
this would have been passing, but Nicolas Cage is the thing that saves this movie.
Yeah.
But he's also the reason why this movie is garbage.
Yes.
Because he overacts the shit out of everything, right? One of the biggest criticisms is that he is a humongous overactor and the direction's terrible, right?
Yeah.
And that the movie's become unintentionally funny because of it. Nicolas Cage objected to this criticism, saying that he and Neil LaBute knowingly made the picture as an absurdist black comedy and that it should be seen and judged as such. Well,
that's like, I go, yeah, I meant to do that.
I meant to make this crap. It's like, no.
Embrace. It's a really poor recovery, though, isn't it?
I was supposed to be an absurdist black comedy. Bollocks. It wasn't absurdist. It wasn't even a black comedy. You're taking it seriously and you just added crap to it. So one of the things they find out once it's sort of there, like Nicolas Cage just finds out there is a coffin somewhere with the girl, right? Mm. So starts burying it, starts undigging it, and finds a doll.
Yeah.
A doll that got burnt. And it turns out that there's a ritual where a girl gets sacrificed. A girl gets sacrificed, and that girl who gets sacrificed pledges a new harvest, or something. We're not sure if it's a sacrifice or something, but whatever it is, it's a harvest, right? And turns out Rowan might have been that sacrifice, but the crops did terribly. The crops are cursed, as they called it.
You know when he's looking around and, like, for these extra bit. It reminded me of like a computer game, like an RPG, because I play like a lot of fantasy kind of some fantasy type games.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you're on a quest to a location, and you have to dig up this grave here, get this object, and then you have to go to another location and open a altar.
Oh my god!
It takes you to like a dungeon type place. It is like a fantasy RPG.
Oh my god! It's Broken Sword.
Yeah.
This is totally like a point-and-click adventure game of Broken Sword.
Yeah.
It's got the same logic.
Oh. It just feels like that. Like, yeah, like a point-and-click or like a, you know, role-playing game or something like that. It's got that feel.
But it's weirder. It's got that feeling. But it's got Nicolas Cage in it.
Yeah.
In a modern time. Just imagine like a Broken Sword adventure game with Nicolas Cage as the lead instead. Yeah. Just pointing and just got. So he finds like this doll, he finds like this photo. Yeah, he picks it up. Now I can't think of it any other way, like a Broken Sword. Because this is why it's kind of difficult to really go through the plot entirely. Because a lot of it's just him going, finding clues that we kind of already know about. Like, it's not really that much of a reveal when he finds it. But he finds, like, here's a picture. He breaks into, like, the doctor's office. Here's a picture. Oh, here's a thing. Here's a negative. Here's a jar of a baby fetus.
Yeah. I suppose it's difficult to do... It's difficult to do a remake when you... When the original's so infamous and people know the ending. So yeah. It's kind of like, how do I creatively get to that end result?
And the thing is, you can't change the ending.
Yeah.
Because the ending is the most famous part of the movie, right? It's like if I decided to do a remake of The Sixth Sense, but don't do the twist. It'd be like, people would be annoyed. Like, what? No, why bother make The Sixth Sense anyway? So here, you cannot suddenly go, Nicolas Cage survives being burned in a wicker, man. Yes!
Yeah.
Bees!
You go the wrong way.
You're going towards the bees!
Get locked and loaded.
Just in case, you know, because there might be a swarm of killer bees about.
And a handgun is a perfect weapon for bees.
I can shoot one at a time. Funny thing is with Nicolas Cage, his logic, I would not be surprised if he did this. I shoot them all. He runs because he sees a bee. Because he's allergic to bees. Now, this is stupid. Why would you go on an island full of bees?
And he knew about the bee thing, didn't he?
Yeah, he knew about the bee thing. So he purposely brought, like, his pen to when he gets allergic to bees. But why even go on an island where everything's about bees if you're heavily allergic to bees? Anyway, so at one point he gets chased by a bee. But he's chased by a bee, but goes the wrong direction. And runs through all the bees. Yes.
He could just go the opposite way he came in.
Took a long
time. No, I'll run through all the beehives.
He tumbles and clearly then couldn't get the pen on time and passes out. He wakes up in the nurse in the doctor's office and feels like, we cured you the old way.
I'm trying to trust you here, but every time I turn my head, there's something that doesn't make any sense.
Well, this whole movie doesn't make any sense. Too. I was happy to leave here when I did, even though I came back. I wish I hadn't. I wish that I stayed and made a life with you. Been with you all these years, but I didn't. I came back here and had our child, and now she...
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We'll keep looking.
Oh, come on.
You don't feel like the chemistry between those two is like you don't feel like they were together or anything like that.
But then do you feel like anyone would have chemistry with Nicolas Cage? Nicolas Cage is his own animal. Like, he is a man
City
in a
City of Angels, Meg Ryan.
No! But no, that movie in itself, there's no chemistry there. That was like lack of. Those were literally two people from two different planets.
This is like the worst thing when they're in that movie when they're having sex and Meg Ryan says, look, our bodies, they fit together.
Who says that? like, it's like, it's like, we fit like a key. Ah, you know, perfect slot. Oh, good grief. Oh no, logs. Oh dear.
Is hers? Tell me!
Yes.
How to get burned? How to get burned?
No! I don't know either!
That's a hard place.
Did I tell
you? No, Willow, I mean it.
But maybe if we... Why are you...
Uh-oh.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Something bad is about to happen. I can feel it.
I think Nicolas Cage has finally snapped.
Go to the house and lock yourself.
And now we're going to get Nicolas Cage on 11.
Go,
I can't
now.
Wait!
It's always the key when you hear him say the same line with different intensities.
It's like, how to get burned. How to get burned. How to get burned! Love it.
Summer's Isle!
Oh, good grief. All right, so... So he finally finds all this stuff. He finds all the clues, basically, and finally confronts Willow and saying, you're lying to me. Something is up. You could not be hiding this for too long. And then this is like the halfway point of the movie, right? So he's gone and seen everyone. He's gone to every NPC, basically, on this island and got all the clues, just like Monkey Island and Broken Sword. Finally goes and confronts Willow and says, like, I found the doll. I found this doll that was burnt in a coffin. How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned? How to get burned? I don't know. Well, stop shouting.
The thing is, the more we talk about it, it is like a computer game, because in order to find out what's going on, you have to go and talk to everyone, don't you? And
he talks to everyone on the island. At one point, I love this, at one point where he's trying to find Rowan, he goes to every single house, breaking the door down and pulling like, masks off of girls. Just be like, are you Rowan? Are you Rowan? Are you Rowan? Kicking door down, drop kicking people. It's fucking ridiculous.
And it's a massive abuse of the police badge as well. He thinks he can do anything, like the God complex thing we've mentioned. He just thinks he can break into houses and you know, do anything he wants.
Yeah, and one thing is that Helga actually says very neatly, so like saying, oh, you're a cop. You say, you can't just pull your weight around here. It's like, yeah, I'm a cop, though. So that means I've been invited here on an investigation. And Helga's like, that's from California. We're in Washington. We're already the wrong state. You're literally nothing. You just happen to be a cop. So, and he's still pulling his weight around. Like, the bit where he's finally got all the clues, he's finally sussed something out and realizes something really bad about to happen. He goes and he's running, and then he finds Rose on a bicycle and hijacks the bicycle using a gun.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Give me the bike.
But give me the bike now. It's like, that's a bit excessive. Okay, so by all this, he's found all the clues, everything else. He's gone now. He now knows that there's a festival happening. So clearly there's some kind of rebirth festival. But the thing is, the rebirth festival, and this was purposely said, is in the end of autumn. So this is supposed to be death and rebirth kind of thing. So is this a death festival? Whatever it is, something's happening, right? So this has already given us a clue that something's a bit fishy. So Nicolas Cage goes back and he has seen shit now. And he is hard boiled and he's ready to crack.
The Cage dial is turned up quite a few notches.
This is where it goes up to 11. And this is the thing. All the stuff we know from the internet and all the memes come from this point onwards.
Yeah.
Because everything else beforehand doesn't really click off. It's just some really ropey dialogue. This Nicolas Cage is actually really subtle. Other than like a few weird bits.
He's quite monotone in his performance up to that point.
Yeah, other than like the weird dreams, other than like the weird dream stuff, the rest of the movie is just kind of all right. It's like a bit meh. There's nothing interesting. Then, how to get burnt, he's dialed to 11, and you're now on full Nicolas Cage mode. So it goes back to the lodge, and literally goes, and because he's trying to find everything. He finds out that his plane, that he's been on there the entire time, has now been burnt to the ground, and it's like been like destroyed, thrown into the lake, or the ocean or something, and the pilot is dead. By having eyes and mouth crossed out.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is there have never been signs of any of that kind of weird shit in the movie, so why the fuck do you... Anyway.
It doesn't, like, the Helga woman...
Yeah.
Doesn't she talk... She talks to one of the other women at one stage, and she says... Didn't she say something like, did you get that the pilot sorted out? And she's like, yeah, done that for you. Yeah, they have a weird conversation, then Nicolas Cage comes in, and he's like... And she just goes... I'll see you later.
And you can see, like, it's almost like Helga's going, how long have you been there? It's like, or as long as you need. I love it. Because Nicolas Cage is now hard-boiled. And literally all she's, like, being cocky, going, oh, you can't leave now, can you? Oh, I've heard about your stories going in, breaking in houses and stuff, blah, 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 blah. And Nicolas Cage, rightfully so, but also wrongfully so, just punches her in the face.
Full-on punch, like, full-on right hook.
Oh, yes. Just as you instructed. Now I'll be off.
Well.
Good timing.
You look a bit worse for wear now, don't you?
Uh-oh. Nicolas Cage is on rage mode. You can see it in his face. The bitch out! Well done! he just got rugby tackled! So now the festival's happening. Oh! Proper judo Froda! Drop kicks it through. Oh, that's amazing.
Probably like Karate Kid.
Hi-ya! This is where it starts getting stupid. So, Nicolas Cage is now... Oh, God.
And he has a fight with that younger girl.
Oh, my God, he does! Before he does this bit, yeah. He fights with this other girl. Do you want to describe the fight for me? Because I can't remember much of it, but it's so stupid.
The girl that was in Eyes Wide Shut, her.
Yeah, that's a thing. You'll hear that in the commentary.
But, like, yeah, he has a bit of a rustle with her and ends up doing a proper karate kick. And she flies across the room into the wall.
It's brilliant! You're thinking, oh my God, Nicolas Cage actually got Nicolas Cage powers. Yeah. Just drop kicks this girl across the room into a wall full of, like, frames.
Yeah.
And so, these two have finally been, like, these two women are knocked the fuck out. And so Nicolas Cage now has a plan with Willow to try and figure out where their daughter is, right? So he dresses up in a bear suit because everyone else is dressed as animals, right? So there's bears, there's a Miss Rose, is like a lady, Sister Rose is like a, it's like a crow, and someone's like a peacock, and someone's like a fish, and some weird shit, right? There's everyone's dressed as animals, and they're all going into the field with all this pagan dancing and everything. Now, the original one, in the original Wicker Man, had people like dancing, and they're naked, and they're like, whoa, it's fertility, the power, sensuality, we are one with the earth. There's just a bunch of women.
Halloween, like a shit Halloween, isn't
it? It's like a bunch of women in shit Halloween costumes playing around with capes.
Mm.
It doesn't feel remotely like it. With Madame Summerisle looking like the worst Braveheart.
Yeah.
So Nicolas Cage invades, dresses the bear, finds Rowan tied to a stake, and literally while Summerisle is talking about fertility and how the crows and the crops and blah, blah, blah. Nicolas Cage does what I think is the funniest thing in the whole movie. In a bear suit, walks up to a woman, punches her in the face.
Yeah, I think he doesn't even walk. He, like, runs up.
Struts.
And it's like, yeah, okay, you've got the camouflage on, so you're blending in a little bit. But at that point, when you're running towards... where Rowan is, you're not blending in anymore. You're like, yeah. Okay, this person's out of control.
Just runs up and is like, what are you doing here? Punch! Locke grabs Rowan and runs him towards the forest, right? When the Rowan is now guiding Nicolas Cage over to the main, sort of, to this area. And everyone's happy to see Rowan. Everyone's great. And now Nicolas Cage is confused. And so are we, to a point. Because then when they explain it, what I love about it, they explain like a really bad, like, Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah.
Because they go like, you've got, it's like, here's my master plan. And so they say, like, this entire thing wasn't about the festival of life or death or fertility. This is about the Wicker Man festival, which has only been mentioned now. Yeah. There's been no mention of a Wicker Man or anything like that beforehand. Or if there was, it is undercut.
Mm.
Right? And so so basically, it's like the only way to do the Wicker Man is we need a man of pure blood. And so they somehow, when what Willow and Nicolas Cage got together and made Rowan, they say in order, because Rowan's sacrifice or dance or ritual or whatever didn't do the crops well. So in order to do this, they planned this really stupid, over elaborate plot that lasted that took nearly a whole year or more.
Yeah.
Or more, must have been years, to get Nicolas Cage on the island so he could be sacrificed. Because he is the only male of pure blood related to Rowan that they can sacrifice in a giant Wicker Man.
Yeah, when you think about it, the plan must have been plotted. Because how old's Rowan? She's like
10?
Yeah, so 10. Because she was sent out to him, you know, to get pregnant.
Yeah.
In order to, you know, like, it was kind of like that kind of thing. Like,
it's like a backup plan if that was the case. And the thing is, if maybe Willow was sort of there, was living her normal life, didn't want to go back into it. But then perhaps when this happened, it's like, oh, Rowan is going to become a thing anyway. Oh, she was always part of it.
But it almost seems like it was always the plan for her to, like,
for her to bang a dude.
Yeah.
Come back with her child, with his child.
So he would come over.
So he could come over. He would come over and be the sacrifice in case the daughter did not do well.
Yeah.
That sounds preposterous. And like, we wrote the letter. We all wrote the letter. Did you? Whose handwriting was it? We wrote the letter. We planned it. Turns out one of the coppers, you know, blonde copper, she is a twin of one of the women on the island. Okay? And then also there's the other woman in the car was also another twin of the one on the island, whose daughter is also another twin from the island. So in other words, they purposely somehow, the truck must have been a thing. So somehow they had to get Nicolas Cage traumatized.
Yeah.
Somehow with an exploding fucking car involving a shit ton of twins. And lure him into this island must have taken them about a year or 2 years or 3 years or something. This got really convoluted quickly just to get to a Wicker Man ceremony that was never explained.
He got punked.
Badly. All the people, imagine if something Ashton Kutcher comes out of the corner and goes, yeah! Well done, you thought your daughter was dead.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the whole setup, like, even going back further, like the whole Jeremy Beadle kind of setup.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but the punchline is flat.
Yes.
It's like the setup's there, like, really elaborate, like, a joke, like, really practical, like, and doing all this kind of stuff. And then it gets there, and it's like, no, it's not funny, is it?
And that's the thing, it's like, not even that it's not funny. It's like, if it's supposed to be a movie suspense, we knew all the clues that's coming up, and we know the ending, because it's the Wicker Man. So there's no suspense in this movie, like, at all.
No.
And there's no theme to it. So that's also a dead punchline. And then all the stuff that made it laugh is their attempts, by the sound of things, to be serious, but Nicolas Cage saying it's a black comedy, which is fucking stupid.
Yeah, I still don't believe that. I think that's just a way to try and recover.
Nicolas Cage in a bear outfit just punched a bitch out. Oh. Uh-oh. Yeah, drop kick him. Come on. No, not enough. He's still wearing the bare feet.
This is murder! Murder! You'll all be guilty! And you're doing it for nothing! Killing me won't bring back your goddamn honey!
Oh! There goes his leg. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
What is that?
Oh, no,
not the beast.
Oh, my eyes. You can see the CGI as well. Oh, I love it. That looks so fake.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I totally forgot, that looks so fake! No wonder they got rid of it in the theatrical cut. Mm. Yeah? Yes! Perfect way for a movie to end. Nicolas Cage roaring in pain. And the entire town gets him, breaks his legs in a really nasty way. Like, yeah. Proper cracks his legs.
Ooh, nasty.
And then, this is the thing. This is something we need to make a note. We saw the director's cut, which has an extra 4 minutes of footage. Only 4 minutes, which disappointed me a bit. But here's the thing. The movie was supposed to be rated R. So it's supposed to be a proper R rating. But the director purposely wanted a broader range, right? So he trimmed down a lot of the violence and the gore and everything else that was originally supposed to be in the movie so he can make it a PG-13.
Oh, God.
But one of the things he cut out of the theatrical cut, but kept in this cut... And what's interesting is this is the thing that everyone remembers, is the bees.
Yeah. Well, that happens sometimes. It's like everyone remembers the spiderwork walk from Exorcist.
Yeah.
But that's only in the director's cut.
Yeah. And this is clearly this version of it. This is the funniest meme in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Which basically, Nicolas Cage has his legs broken. And since we now know Nicolas Cage is allergic to bees, he gets a helmet full of bees. And they are the worst looking bees.
CGI bees.
Yeah, because clearly what happened on set was clearly just like, Nicolas Cage had Nicolas Cage in a cage.
Cage within a cage, like a dream within a dream.
It's Cage within a cage. Oh my god, is inside Nicolas Cage is another Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage is riding a mech suit of himself.
Yeah. Like one of those Venetian dolls that you take, you open it up, there's another doll inside.
There's a whole bunch of Nicolas. Oh my god, that'd be too much Nicolas Cage. Getting smaller and smaller and more agitated every time you open them.
The little tiny one at the moment. The bees! The bees!
The bees! Not the bees! The whole bit was that on set, clearly, Nicolas Cage was just had the cage on his head and just reacted like they were bees, like so faked acting. So I can do that right now. Oh, no, not the bees. Oh, my eyes. Oh, my eyes. The goggles do nothing. You know, he's not wearing goggles, but it looks like that quote from The Simpsons. Yeah. My eyes, the goggles do nothing. Pretty much just him acting bollocks, right? And they added CGI bees in it afterwards that looked so fake.
Yeah.
That no wonder they removed it from the actual cut. It would have been laughed out of the shop.
They look like they've been like drawn on in like Microsoft Paint.
Yeah, they look like they look like GIFs.
Yeah,
they look like GIFs, and it's ridiculous, right? So he's been stung by bees, had his legs broken, and is now dragged into the Wicker Man. And what I love about it is that Willow has sort of got this weird sort of thing where she's disappointed, But then Summer Isle gives Rowan the torch.
Yeah.
And she looks really happy that she's about to burn.
Like, yay!
Yay! I'm going to burn my daddy! Fucking weird. And
literally, have you noticed as well, like, all the shots on, like, Willow.
Yeah.
She's kind of been directed to kind of say, think that, give the vibe of, like, well, this is what's got to happen, but you're not quite sure if you're happy about it. But it just makes her look like she's constipated. She's kind of like got half a smile and she's kind of like going, like that now.
She looks constantly like perplexed.
Yeah.
Like she looks like she's confused the entire time. It's like you're supposed to feel like unsure of yourself, but no, I look constipated and confused. Love it. And the movie then literally ends, which is how it should be anyway. But the movie literally ends with the Wicker Man burning to the ground and everyone sort of dancing and rejoicing in bird outfits and bee outfits. There's one really rubbish, like, girl dressed in a bee outfit and looks, like, really cheap when you find it in a Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Like a Halloween sort of, like, shop. It's like, hey, I'm a bee! I'm a bee this year! It's fucking terrible. Like, so, any final thoughts on your end about the Wicker Man remake?
No, not really. I think you summed it up. It's like, I enjoyed it. I wouldn't enjoy it if it didn't have Nicolas Cage in it.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of his. So, like, no matter how bad the movie is, sometimes I'll just watch it for Cage. Mm. And, yeah, it had so many problems, but I'd probably watch it again just to be entertained.
And I think this just is a testament to Nicolas Cage's ability and his bizarre fandom.
Yeah.
Because I love Nicolas Cage.
Mm.
And you love Nicolas Cage. So we can tolerate movies like this with Nicolas Cage in them. If you hated Nicolas Cage, it does nothing for you. In fact, you'd argue this would be like, you see, he's a shit actor. Have you seen him in this?
Yeah.
Well, we're sitting there going, this is technically genius. This is the most balmy we've seen him in a while. He's drop-kicking women. He is he's shaking dolls around. It's fantastic. It's balmy as. And if you are a Nicolas Cage fan, I would highly recommend this one, right?
Definitely, yeah.
If you do not like Nicolas Cage, avoid this like the plague, because this is 100% Cage. Mm. And if you avoid Nicolas Cage and remove Nicolas Cage, there's nothing here to enjoy. Yeah. I wouldn't say there's nothing to enjoy, because, you know, it's just a bit boring without Nicolas Cage. He made it fun.
And you have to go, when you watch it, you have to go in not expecting it to be like the original film.
At all. And but oddly enough, like, it seems to be a lot like the original movie, but nothing like the original movie. So you are in this bizarre, like, bizarro world. Like, this was the movie you were supposed to have. But yeah, this one was fun one. This one was fun one.
Definitely.
So yeah, we'll start wrapping up for this time round. Now, since it's now the summertime, this is now the summertime, we're getting warm, we're getting hot. Next time round, I'm going to throw something a little bit more cooler into the works, and something maybe involving maybe a trip to the beach or two. So, with that to say, we'll end off the podcast saying, keep an eye on your trash, there might be some treasure in there. See you guys later.
See you guys.
Woo!
This podcast has been an Enigmatic production. It's hosted by Johan Paul and music by Edward Harvey. If you like what you hear, subscribe to the podcast. We are on Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Buzzsprout. Share it, like it, write a review. For more information on our other projects, check out our website, www.enigmaticproductions.co.uk.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it around with movie lovers you know, maybe add a star rating or write a good review. All of this helps with the algorithm and provides us with more opportunities to reach the ears to a whole new bunch of bad film fanatics. Want to find out more about us? Then head over to our socials where we provide sneak peeks and up-to-date news on everything nostalgic and trashy. You can find our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages in the description. So please, follow us. See you next time, cinephiles.